We're bringing the message this morning. For I know you might have noticed that I have an accent, so just in case you don't know. So I've decided to put pretty much everything I want to say on the slide. So if you can't hear me, just follow the slide. You will get 70% of what I'm saying. So, kids, actually, I forgot that you were in church today. So, but we can still work something out. If you have access to drawing pads or whatever, I want you to draw yourself and your family in a wedding anniversary or whatever, someone getting married. So draw yourself in your best clothes, what you would like to wear to that wedding, and maybe eating yourself and your family. So get busy, get engaged. Let's start with a word of prayer. Maybe that will help me to stay calm. So I'll pray. Dear God, we want to thank you for, we know that you have something for every one of us this morning. And we pray that you will help us. You will speak to us. I pray that my word will not be for myself, but for from you. We ask for peace. We pray against distraction. Holy Spirit, we pray that your presence will fill this house. Please be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Alice. We'll be looking at, I'm not sure if this is working. Is it working? It's not. No, it's not. Trying. Oh, sorry. Yeah, got it now. So we'll be looking at the parable of the wedding banquet. And because there are two passages in the Bible talking about this parable, we'll be going between the two passages, the Luke's account and Matthew's account. So the Bible passage we read this morning was Matthew's account, but there are some things we will get also from Luke's account of that same parable. Now, let's start from the great invitation. Come, the feast is ready. This was the king's invitation to everyone that has been invited. It is ready now. You can start coming. It said, to those who have been invited, tell those who have been invited that I've prepared my dinner. My oxen and fattened cattle have been butchered, and everything is ready. Come to the wedding banquet. He's not asking them to bring anything. What he's asking them is what? Just come and dine with me and eat with me. And that offer still stands today. God is always calling people. When you come to me, I'm not asking you to bring anything. Just bring yourself. That has always been God's style over the years, calling people at no cost. Just come. I just want you. I just want to be with you. I just want us to be together. God's provision are there for every one of us to enjoy. You know, in Australian culture, when someone invites you for dinner, sometimes you go with wine or juice or whatever. But this time around, God is saying, don't bring anything. I just want you. I just want you to come and enjoy. To come and dine with me. To come and share what I have. That's God's offer to everyone. And it also shows God's eternal goodness. You know, if you want to host the whole church now, you have to count the cost. It was, okay, do I have the money to be able to do this? But because God is so generous, so good, he's inviting everyone out of his own goodness that we should come and share of it, that we should come and be a partaker of his goodness. Now, because we going a bit. Okay, I'm going to need your help here. It's on? Oh. Sorry. Okay? Now, but despite this invitation, some people still decide to say, no, I don't want to. I'm not interested. Now, let's look at those things they said. They paid no attention and went off, one to his field. This is from Luke's account. Another to his business. I have bought a field and I must go out to see it. Please have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen and I go to examine them. Please have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife and therefore I cannot come. Every one of them have something to say on why they don't want to come to the dinner. Just imagine if someone invites you for dinner and you said, you know, let's try to examine this passage, even though that's not where we're going. The invitation did not come to them that day. It has been sent ahead of time. And now I want to assume that they have said, yes, I'll come. So the host was ready, waiting. I told them the dinner was at 7 p.m. This is 6, 6:30, 7:30. Hey, it's no one. Okay, servant, go and check these people and tell them we are ready. So I'm assuming now that they must have said yes before. So that's why the servant went to them. But now, at the last minute, they said, nah, I don't want to come. Comfort, aspirations, and desires can be an obstacle to God's invitation. Every one of us has something we aspire to. I want to be this. I want to have this. I want to have that. Every one of these people have something to say. He said, I have a business to attend to. This is not the time for religion or Christianity or faith. I'm still young. I'm still at the prime of my life. This is the time to use my energy for something productive. I don't want to spend my time with these church people or whatever they're doing. I'm not interested. And for some, he said, I have bought a new yoke of oxen. I'm not interested. I've just started this business. I've just started my studies. I've just started something new. I don't want to interrupt that. I can't afford to do that. I'm sorry. I'm just starting something new now. And another said, you see, I just want to enjoy my life. I just got married. I just have this now. No, I don't want to be part of God's thing. The power of choice. I have the right to make my choice. I am free not to go if I don't feel like it. You know, in this part of the world, we all have choices. People can say, well, I said yes, now I'm saying no. So what's the problem with that? I should be able to decide what I want to do with my life. And I'm sure some of us have talked to people about Jesus or church, and they feel like, nah, I don't want to. I'm not interested. I'm making that choice. No one is making it for me. I have everything I need. I don't need to go to his dinner. What does he want to offer? I have everything at home. Even what I have at home, I've not finished it. So, sorry. What does God want to offer me that I don't have? You know, for some of us that go out for evangelism, when we hear people talk, some people is just, they feel like, tell me what I need God for. And when people say that to me, I feel like, really? You think you have everything, that there is no place for God? I've had people say that, I don't need him. I don't need God to do anything for me. And this goes to the next point. Some people did not come, not because of God's inability to help them, to provide for them, but because they choose not to go. They know God can do it, but they are making a choice to say, no. Sometimes ago, we went for an evangelism and we met a woman. And the person that I was with or that we went together is a medical doctor. So we were talking to this woman and she told us that she has been sick for a while, that she has a medical condition, and she has seen a lot of medical specialists, and they kept saying they can't figure what's wrong with her. So from evangelism, it turned to a medical conversation. doctor was asking, what were the symptoms? How are you feeling? What have you done? And things like that. So the doctor also found out that she has really done a lot of things. So he just, and because I'm not a medical practitioner, he just, okay, one last thing. I know you've done everything. How about if we pray for you? You've not tried that. How about if we pray for you? And let's hope God can do something. And this woman said something that has stuck with me since then. She said, if Jesus heal me now, here, I won't follow him. And I was like, whoa. She said, if Jesus, if that your Jesus, heal me here right now, and I become healed and my pain go away, I won't follow him. And we're like, wow. I didn't know what to say again. We're just like, but you said you were sick. You said, yes, I'm sick. This has been going on for a while. I've spent a lot of money. I've met so many specialists. But I'm not giving Jesus a chance. That's my choice. We just look at that and say, okay, that's it. So some people know that Jesus can do it. But they said, no. But some of us are not like that. God helped us. Immediately we hear God, for those of us that came to Jesus, that has come to Jesus. He said, go to the streets, corners, and invite to the banquet anyone you find. So the servant went out into the street and gathered all the people they could find, the bad as well as the good, and the wedding hall was filled with guests. For some of us, God picked us from the streets, from nowhere. We are the ones that were lucky that when Jesus put out the invitation, we took it with joy and said, yes, I'll go. God had mercy on us. So for some of us are like that, he said, we know our story. We know where God took us from. I know where God took me from. And some of us are like that. We know the lives we could have been living, but God just had mercy on us. We were the one that were picked from the streets, from the corners of the world, from different places. And we took up God's offer. But you know what? Despite the fact that we have come in, the servant told the master, sir, what you commanded has been done, but there is still more room. So if you are in the church today, there is still room for you. If you have not taken up God's offer, if this is your first time of hearing about Jesus, there is a space, there is a room for you. In that feast, God has made it there for everyone. So even if the whole world come to Jesus, there's still a place. Don't say, ah, now. No, there's a space for you too. So this is an invitation from God to say, come on in. Enjoy this banquet. That's God's offer for everyone. There's still space. Now, this is the first step, and this is where it gets tricky. We're telling a story. Am I speaking too fast? No? Okay, thank you. Those of us that have come in now, we move to the next stage. And this is where it gets interesting. There's a warning. When we come into God's presence, when we have accepted our invitation to say, yes, there is a precedent, there is an ordinance, which is an everlasting ordinance. Now we have moved from those who have rejected God to those who have accepted God, that have accepted God's offer. Those of us that have taken up the invitation, there is a warning for us. There is a caution. And that's the focus of this message. And to make us understand what it's about, we're going to take a step back to the Old Testament. For those who are new to church, Old Testament is the first part of the Bible. So we want to look at what the ordinance God has set for anyone that will come into his presence. There's a man called Aaron, and God is the priest, the chief priest. And God says, anytime you want to come before me, there's this particular way you have to dress. You have to dress in a very strict and a certain way. In fact, God paid meticulous details to what Aaron was going to wear. The scarf, the texture, the length, everything. God gave the specific details to it. Aaron and his sons must wear this, must wear them whenever they enter that tent, the tent of meeting, or approach the altar to minister in the holy place, so that they will not incur guilt and die. This is to be a lasting ordinance for Aaron and his descendants. We are talking about that man that the king asked, why are you here without a wedding clothes? That's why, because he took up God's offer. He went to the feast, but he was not with a wedding clothes. He was not wearing a wedding garment. So we want to look at what happened. Now, this is Aaron, or just something like Aaron. God is saying, if you want to come after you've taken up my invitation and you are going to show yourself in my presence, this is how you should dress. You must wear these details, everything like this. Even if you have something better than this, if you have a cloth that is so good, so beautiful, don't wear it when you come into my presence. This is what I want. This is the standard. You can't add anything to it, and you can't take anything away from it. And God told Aaron that what? It's the lasting ordinance. You can't change it. Now, sorry, I'm taking my time to explain so that we can understand what we are trying to say. In the Old Testament, this is the temple. Now, here is what is called the holies of holies. That's where the presence of God is. So this man, dressed like this, is the only person that can go into this place, because that's where the presence of God is. Now, for those of us that don't want to dress like this, if you don't want to dress like this, you can stay here. You can stay any other place here, around here. That's okay. But you cannot go into this place where the presence of God is, because you're not dressed appropriately. You don't meet God's standard. To meet God's standard and to be able to go into this place, you need to be dressed like this. If you are not dressed like this, you can go to other place, you can walk your way around here, you can do whatever you want to do, but you can't go to where the presence of God is. You can't go before God. That was the lasting ordinance God gave to the Israelite and to Aaron. So when that man came, now, this passage, this man has taken up God's offer. He took up God's invitation. He attended dinner. But there was a but. But when the king came in to see the guest, he noticed a man. He noticed a man who was not what? Who was not wearing the wedding clothes. He noticed that man that everyone else was wearing the wedding clothes, was wearing what God required. But this man, even though he didn't reject God, he didn't reject God's offer, he accepted God's offer. He went to the dinner. He wasn't like the other people. But he wasn't wearing the appropriate clothes. Now, you know, when I was talking about this passage, I said we have a choice. You can decide to stay outside and wear whatever you want. It's just that you will not go before God. But now that we are in the New Testament, we don't have a choice. That choice has been taken away. Now, what I'm saying is this. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10, it said, for we must all appear. Everybody must appear before the judgment seat of Christ to receive what is due for the things done in the body, whether good or bad. Now, he said, therefore, since we know what it means to fear the Lord, we try to persuade men. We know the terror of this king. We know what it means to appear before him. and not be appropriately dressed. We persuade people. We encourage them. Before the king is coming, before you go to see him, dress very well. We persuade men. So this man, if we are not going to see the king, fine, we can wear whatever we want. But if we are going to, before God's presence, if we are going to see the king, we must put on that cloth. Now, what could have gone wrong? The man was silent. Now, that's what he said, friend, how did you get in here without a wedding cloth? Friend. And the man was speechless. He asked him. He wasn't an enemy. He was a friend. He was a friend. Why? How? How did it happen that you come before me and not dressed appropriately and you're not wearing a wedding garment? What could have gone wrong? Let's say this man, remember he was called, they just said, go to the street and call everyone. Let's say he was coming from the farm and his clothes were very dirty, not looking good. He went to the wedding feast like that. So before the king came in, he never thought, I need to change this clothes. Everyone else were wearing the same clothes, the wedding garment, but this man did not change. You know, for some of us too, our life could be like that. The same way God called us 20 years ago that we have been following Jesus, that we've become Christians, we're still that same person. Nothing has changed about us. So someone can be a Christian for 20 years and they are still the same. Their life before they became Christian and their life after they have become a Christian is still the same. Nothing has changed. They're still wearing that same old clothes, same old garments. For some people, they will just say, see, I can't be bothered. It takes too much effort to change. So why do I need to change? I don't need to take anything. I don't care. He invited me. So I can't be bothered to change my clothes. So there's no need to change. And some lifestyles are like that. Some of us, we feel like, see, I've tried it before. It just takes too much effort to stop this habit. I know it's a bad habit. I'm a Christian. I should have been doing like that. But now, nah, I'm just going to go with it. And for some, my clothes are not dirty. See, it's a designer clothes. There's nothing wrong with this. There's nothing wrong with my life. So why do I need to change? Why do I need to change? The same life I was living before I became a Christian, I was a morally upright person. I don't hurt anyone. I live a good life. So why do I need to change my clothes? Why do I need to change to the wedding garment? My clothes are good. I don't need to change anything. Even when God put his mirror before us and say, no, you need to meet up my standard. You need to change your life. We still feel like I'm a good person. But to God, you are not meeting the standard. You are not putting on the wedding garments. And for some people, my clothes are expensive. My life is better before I became a Christian. My life was good before I became a Christian. And it's even better than so many other Christians. So why should I change my life? And for some, he invited me. So he will accept me just as I am. I don't need to change anything. Other people rejected Jesus. I accepted him. So why should I change my life again? He should accept me just as I am. I don't want to change my life. This is me. God just has to take me like that. It doesn't work that way. Before the king comes in, you need to change. The Bible says, knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. We know that when the king comes in, it's going to be another story. So before he comes in to come and check, you need to change now. Because when he comes to look at the guest and look at everyone, and he sees that you are not wearing that clothes, it's another story entirely. Now, he invited me. I honored the invitation. He will accept me. I'm not going to change my life. You just have to accept him with my lifestyle. I'm an alcoholic. I do whatever I like, and God knows me. You understand me? That's fine. I'll go with that. No. And for some people, even if the servant did not notice that there was a man who was not wearing the garment, maybe that was what the man was thinking. No one will notice me. See, there are thousands of people here. So who will notice me that I'm different? We just go with the flow. But the king noticed. Even if there are 1 million people there, the king noticed that there is someone who is not appropriately dressed. We are servants. We might not know what you're doing in your secret life, but the king knows. And when he comes, he's going to pick you out. Say, you are the old one. You don't fit here. Now, it could also be possible that this man got carried away. Let's say as the invitation goes out again, he was the first person to show up and say, hey, and he just started helping. Okay, what do we need to do? The plan has changed, and he forgot to change. He might have get carried away with everything going on and say, oh, so much food, so much fun, so much activity, so much to do. I don't need to change. Let's just make sure everything is set. And in the process of doing that, he missed out on the crucial part of the dinner, which is what you need to put on the wedding garment. You know, for some people, it's service. We serve God with our time, with our life, with everything, with our money. But we are not putting on the wedding garment. Maybe this man was the first person that got there, and he saw other people coming in with the wedding garment, and he was like, what are you guys doing? I've been here before you. So why do I need to change to what you're wearing? I came here first. You are the one that needs to change your lifestyle. You missed that part. Now, what clothes are we talking about here? We're talking about Jesus. We don't have to dress like Aaron again. We don't have to dress like this. We don't need this again. There's a better covenant. There's a better plan. There's a better package. There's a better garment. And that's our Lord Jesus Christ. He said, for all of you who were baptized into Christ, into a spiritual union with Christ the Anointed, have clothed yourself with Christ. That is, you have taken on his characteristics and values. You have taken, you know, the way you put on a cloth. The Bible is saying that for every one of us that have been baptized with Christ, we have put on his nature. Everything about Christ, we put it on like a cloth. Now, what does that mean? We don't need to dress like Aaron again. So going to the holies of holies now, we don't need to wear this weird-looking garment. To go before God, to appear before the king, we don't need to wear that again. We have a greater high priest, our Lord Jesus Christ. The implication of that is this. Wearing that garment, wearing Jesus, changes our identity. We can't do the same thing we are doing before we put our clothes on. We can't live the same lifestyle again. People need to know, if that man, this man, if he shows up anywhere, people will know, this is the high priest. Even if you say, I'm not the high priest, everyone will feel like, nah, this is not an ordinary clothes. No one put this on. You are an high priest. So when we become Jesus too, figuratively, we are dressed like this. When people see us, they should see Jesus. They should see Christ. We can't hide it. We can't pretend as if we are not. It becomes our life. If you have time, read the book of Exodus and look at the details God gave to Aaron about his presentation before him, that this is how you should present yourself. That cloth, that garment becomes his identity, becomes his life. And the same thing goes for us when we come to Jesus. It becomes our life. We don't have anything to look back to say, oh, to compare our life with. We can't say, oh, I think I'm better when I was enjoying myself, when I was not a Christian. No. It becomes the soul of our existence. And also, total transformation. There is nothing that we have that has to be for ourselves. Aaron cannot add anything to that cloak. That was the instruction. You cannot add anything to it. You cannot put anything to it. You cannot take anything out of it. So Jesus becomes everything that's on us. It becomes our clothing. It becomes our identity. Now, the beautiful part of it is that there's a wedding garment for everyone. When I read that passage, what breaks my heart most was that that man was silent. If I am the one, if I get to a place and everyone was dressed in a certain way and I'm not dressed like that, I will ask questions. I will ask people, hey, what's going on here? Why is everybody wearing the same clothes and I'm wearing something different? Am I missing something? But he kept quiet. I'm sure there's a wedding garment for him, and he missed out. Even the thief on the cross, you remember that man? That thief on the cross, at the dying minute, at the last minute, he asked for his own garment. He said, sir, please, when you get to heaven, please remember me. And Jesus said, oh, today, I'll meet you in paradise. He didn't miss out. Even when the king asked him, how did you get in here? Why are you here without a wedding clothes? He was speechless. I assume now, if he had said, and he just went on his knees and said, please, sir, I'm sorry, I didn't know I have to put on something. I'm sure the king would have said, okay, get him something to wear. That's our God. That's the God we serve. But he kept quiet. He didn't say anything. He should have said something. He should have said something that, God, I'm sorry, please. So, the offer is still there today. For every one of us that you know within yourself, you're not putting on Jesus, you can still ask the king, please, change my life too. I want to put on that wedding garment. I don't want it to be too late. I don't want it to be too late. Don't be silent. Don't assume you will be fine. Don't assume Jesus will accept me as I am. No, it doesn't work that way. He has a standard. There's a lasting ordinance. But he can still do something now. He can still help us now. We can still cry for mercy now and say, God, I'm really sorry. I've been living my life. I haven't put on Jesus. But now I want you to change me. I want you to transform me. I want to live like a Christian. I want to live like Jesus wants me to live. Revelation chapter 17, from verse 7 to 8. Let us rejoice and be glad and give him the glory. For the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready. She was given clothing of fine linen, bright and pure. For the fine linen she wears is the righteous act of the saints. Before we appear at that last wedding banquet of Jesus, when we stand before God's seat and give account of what we have done in this world, you need to be sure that your fine linen is still intact, that you're still putting on Jesus. Let's pray together. Father, I want to thank you. We know and we are sure that for every one of us, there's a wedding garment designed, tailored for us. Lord, we pray that you will help us not to miss out. That while we still have the time now, you will help us to put on Jesus. That our life will be transformed. For those of us that are still struggling, that are still not yet decided if we want to, we've accepted God's invitation. We have shown up at the banquet. Lord, please help us to look at ourselves and say, am I dressed appropriately? Before the king comes, when I will have no other choice, am I dressed in the right clothing? Am I putting on Jesus? Please help us to reflect on our life now and make that choice of following you, of putting on Jesus. Help us, God. Transform our life. Change us. We don't want to miss out. Dear God, we ask that you would do this for us. In Jesus' name, amen.
That concludes the more formalised part of worship this morning. Thank you so much for coming along. It's been great to have everyone here. Please stay for a cup of tea and coffee, morning tea, and a chat. If you would like to talk more about anything we've talked about today, if you'd like some prayer for some things you've got going on in your life, please talk to the person that invited you, someone you're comfortable with. Or if you don't know anyone, feel very welcome to come talk to me, Etienne, or Jeremiah. We would love to talk more with these things about you. If you are a regular attender here or you want to give to the work of Pathway and the ministries it does here and around the world, there is a box at the back if you're a cash person. If you're not a cash person, you can find bank details in the newsletter or talk to, again, one of the three of us. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord in the name of Christ. Amen.
Yeah, I think I'll have to make sure.